This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Bill Haley. And the Comets, you know, they were like the first group to kind of, they were like the, I don't know, the early 50s, you know, the Rosemary Clooneys and the Patti Pages and the like. And then Bill Haley was almost kind of right on the cusp of rock and roll right then. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January the 5th. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Michael Beckley of the American Enterprise Institute about what he calls the coming crisis in U.S.-China relations. He doesn't think things look very promising. We're going to talk to him about that. And Georgians taking to the polls today to decide the fate of the U.S. Senate. Will it go Democrat or will it stay in Republican hands? We're going to get some thoughts on this. And last night's Donald Trump Georgia rally with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And among other things, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on with this D.C. pro-Trump rally tomorrow, where the mayor of Washington says that he wants, or she wants, guns banned. All guns banned. We'll see how that will go. And finally, in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one. The top 10, at least so far, the top 10 best-selling cars in 2020. I think you'll be interested in that. So lots to do. Election Day voting is going on right now as we speak in the Peach State. And you probably know that right now the fate of the Senate is up for grabs in Georgia. Two seats, two runoff seats. At least 3 million people, apparently, have already voted early in this election. You know, this is what makes people so antsy. It's all of this staggered election procedure in these different states, right? Early voting, absentee voting, mail-in voting, and then voting at the polls. I mean, it used to be you just go to the polls on the day of the election, and you would show some ID, or they knew you already at your precinct, and nobody worried about it. Not anymore. Not anymore. So we got David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, the two Republicans, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, the two Democrats. What's going to happen? Donald Trump, he was in Dalton, Georgia last night. Ed, did you watch any of that, or were you watching? I guess the football season is over. That means you actually watch other things now.
Yeah, Monday night games are really not that great anyway. But
did they have one last night?
Neither. Regular season's over.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, did you watch Trump?
No, I did not.
You're a bad boy. You're supposed to watch Trump and then report to me on what he said. How can I trust you anymore?
I watched Joe Biden.
Oh, that's worse. Oh, boy. I was worried that Trump might not have anybody.
Well, I was lacking sleep and I needed to catch up.
Yes. That is a good tonic, and it doesn't cost anything except turning on your TV. Anyway, Trump took aim at the governor of Georgia, who's a Republican, last night when he held that rally. Brian Kemp is the name of the governor. And Trump doesn't like what he's been doing. He's opposing Kemp because he wants Kemp to challenge the election results, the presidential election results. I was kind of worried when I was watching Trump that he would make it all about himself. But I'll have to be honest, I think he did a pretty good job promoting the two Republicans that are running in Georgia. So it wasn't all about him. I thought, you know what, if he goes out there and he goes, you know what, I was screwed and we got to keep fighting and making the whole rally about him, it would be possibly to the detriment of the voting for those two candidates. But he actually, he brought Kelly Loeffler up to the stage. And I must say, sometimes I think she looks like she's in a trance when I've seen her talk. I don't know what it is. It's kind of has that, you know how you some people just kind of stare and it doesn't look like they're focusing in on something. But last night, she looked very lively and energetic. She looked very alive.
So you saw her?
Yeah, she was there. She was at the rally. And they had a good turnout.
Well, I wouldn't mind if she was in a trance.
Well, you're just a dirty old man, okay? Let's just be honest about it. I have purer thoughts. So the polls opened about 3 hours ago, so they're well into it right now. In the meantime, speaking about Biden, Joe Biden actually was promoting this election as well. And he blasted Trump yesterday. Among other things, he claims that the rollout of the vaccine is painfully slow. Okay, you're going to blame Trump now, huh? How can anybody with one rational brain cell blame Donald Trump for the rollout of the vaccine? The rollout of the vaccine. The vaccines, they get into trucks, possibly other modes of transportation, and they get them into the states. And the states then, you know, have a plan. Okay, you got to go here, you got to go there. Okay, Trump doesn't do that.
No. In fact, what Biden said was Trump should quit whining about the problem and fix the problem. And then his other quote was, he wants the job, but he doesn't want to do the work. That's just a slap. I mean,
he's crazy.
Yeah, he did a lot of work to get that vaccine out there. And I read where CVS and there was some problems with CVS and Walgreens being overloaded with patients because they announced that they would have 100 shots and that you had to call and make an appointment, but do not show up in person. So what happens when the phone lines are jammed? What do? They show up in person.
Right.
But that's his fault. That's Trump's fault.
Yeah, I mean, this is so crazy. I just wonder right now, it would be interesting to see, had this pandemic occurred under Biden's watch, would the vaccine have come just as soon?
No. No. We'd still be looking for it.
Yeah. So, anyway, Biden's in Atlanta, and he campaigned with his two Democratic challengers there. He has made no direct mention of this controversial phone call that went between the president and the Secretary of State. I've seen that Secretary of State on television a few times, Brad Raffensperger. He has yet to answer why he leaked it to the Washington Post. He admits they did. He admits they leaked the phone call where Donald Trump called and said, can you look for, because we won this election, can you look for about 11,800 votes which can swing this thing? Trump did not know that he was going to release this phone call. I mean, I'd be a little bothered by that as well. So, anyway, here we go. It's going to be very interesting. I don't know. I would guess by tomorrow morning they should know on these two election races, but there's probably going to be a big turnout. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk with Michael Beckley of the American Enterprise Institute about the coming crisis in U.S.-China relations.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Is this the first Tuesday of the new year? I guess it is. I'm thinking Friday was New Year's Day. Yes, it is. Anyway, we are delighted to have Michael Beckley join us. He is a visiting Gene Kirkpatrick scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and he has penned a piece called Into the Danger Zone, The Coming Crisis in U.S.-China Relations. Michael, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. I was struck by some of the things that you said about our relationship with China. And you know, right now it's very tenuous. I noticed that Democrats don't talk much about China, and Republicans do, and they don't talk about it in positive ways. You say that China will have strong incentives to be aggressive, and we're talking about the Chinese government, of course, in the coming decade as its power peaks and maybe begins to decline. Do you see any sign within the next 10 years that it would decline? Would there be someone else usurping its power? What do you think?
It's not so much that another country overtakes China, but if you look at China's economic trajectory, its growth is slowing really rapidly, and it's racked up a ton of debt. Its debt has ballooned eightfold just over the last 10 years. No country has racked up this much debt this fast. And the problem for China is it has really no hope of reversing that economic trend because of the one-child policy. It's about to suffer the worst aging crisis of any country in history. So it's going to, just over the next couple of decades, lose 200 million working-age adults. So that's 200 million fewer workers. And at the same time, it's going to gain 300-plus million senior citizens. And we've never seen a country go through that kind of demographic inversion. And so just for those simple reasons, China's window of opportunity where it can just throw money around and invest heavily in its military is really limited to the next 20 to 30 years. And so I think that's why you see Xi Jinping and the Communist Party starting to make moves now, whether it's ratcheting up pressure on Taiwan, swallowing Hong Kong, shoving their weight around in the South China Sea. That's one reason. And the second reason is, global anti-China sentiment hasn't been this high since the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989. Country after country is just turning on China. If you look at public opinion polls around the world, people are really negative on China, partially because of COVID, but also because of just its aggression and its repression at home. And so I think, again, Chinese leaders are saying, look, we have some capabilities to throw our weight around now, but we may not have it 10, 20, 30 years from now, so we need to make moves. And so that's why I really worry that the risk of war the risk of major U.S.-China conflict is going to be very high over the next 5 to 10 years, and we need to be ready.
Yes. So as they as all of these things are occurring in China, and I thank you for bringing this information up. I don't think most people realize, number one, that China has this debt. They just don't think. They think about the United States and our $26 trillion and the fact that a lot of we owe China a lot of money for investment, et cetera, but that China's debt might even be worse than the United States. That's very interesting. And so as all of this is happening, and with the COVID, it seems that China has become more aggressive on the world stage. Is that kind of a direct result of what's going on with their country?
I think absolutely. I mean, this trend has been of increasing Chinese aggression has been occurring since probably around 2008, which just happens to be right after the global financial crisis, which, again, most people don't realize actually put China under severe economic pressure. They basically got through it by rolling out an Obama-sized stimulus package every 5 months for the past decade. And so that's how they've racked up so much debt. They've just been spending tons and tons of money to try to keep the economy going. But at a certain point, something has to give. And so China, at the same time, China's leaders realize that over the long term, they're not going to be able to rely on their economic performance and rapid economic growth to justify to the Chinese people why they, the Chinese Communist Party, should still be in power. So they're looking around for other ways to kind of rally the country behind them. And a time-tested way to do that for an authoritarian country is to create enemies abroad, to instill nationalism in the people, and also to just try to make strategic moves while you still can. So
yeah.
This trend has been occurring since 2008, but it's gotten really bad over the last 5 years. And it's partially due to economic pressure, but also because of Xi Jinping, who clearly is a nationalist and has very ambitious plans for his tenure in office.
Wow. We're talking with Michael Beckley. He is the Gene Kirkpatrick Visiting Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He has written a piece for AEI, Into the Danger Zone, The Coming Crisis in U.S.-China Relations. And Michael, in comes Joe Biden. And we got all of these things going on with the kind of shirt tail effect, I guess, of his son with China. Out goes Trump, and Trump at first seemed to be trying to develop some sort of a relationship with China, but then the trade sanctions came along. I think China kind of closed the door on Trump. Do you think Biden is going to be a little bit more, is he the right kind of a watchdog president to have for the next, let's say, 4-8 years with China?
Well, I mean, I think so. You know, Biden, his record on China is kind of all over the place. But I do think, you know, getting tough with China has become one of the few bipartisan issues in D.C. And so even, you know, I think even Democrats, a lot of them actually want to get pretty tough with China, maybe not to the extent as hardcore Republicans. And I think really the major difference between Democrats and Republicans on China is more of our tactics and methods rather than the overall arching strategic purpose of trying to contain China. So Democrats tend to be more in favor of multilateral ways to try to pressure China, whereas Republicans are more in favor of let's just slap, you know, tariffs on them and let's do it more unilaterally and fend for ourselves. But other than that, I think both you see top-ranking members of both parties saying enough is enough, that China has basically changed over the last 10 years. And this idea that we can integrate them into an American-led world order is just not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
And so now we need to start treating them more like we treated the Soviet Union during the height of the Cold War, through essentially containment. And a lot of the top people in the incoming Biden administration share that view. They've written articles where they've sketched out a way to basically contain China. So I'm a little bit more confident than maybe you are that Biden and his team are dedicated to competing with China.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. But look at the media and the way they're handling it. Look at Google and look at some of these other internet platforms. It seems like they have a cozy relationship with China. And maybe all of the things that some of the things they're not publishing worry us because, you know, look at even sports teams. What is it, the NBA, you know, the basketball league? They're in bed with China. Are these good things to have this kind of cozy relationship, do you think, with them?
I mean, it depends on the company. So Google was kicked out of China, you know, a number of years ago. And so I don't think Google is cozy with China by any means.
Maybe not.
Right. I think the NBA, they clearly see China as a huge market. And so when, you know, one of their owners criticized China basically retaking Hong Kong, they, you know, China turned the screw and said, well, fine, you don't get to play these lucrative games in our country. And then the NBA tried to massage that. So, and you've seen, you know, airlines where they used to list Taiwan as a destination, and then China gets all mad about that, and you've seen airlines back down. So there's certainly been individual companies. I also think Wall Street, you know, tends to favor a softer approach to China because, you know, they see it as an important destination for investment. But I do have to say, even in the business community, I've been struck by the change in tone maybe over the last 3 or 4 years, where people that used to be pro-U.S.-China economic ties are now saying, you know what, they steal our technology. They don't really give us the market access that they promised. They're not living up to their trade commitments. And so now we see them as an economic competitor that needs to be taken down a couple of notches. So I think even across many, many industries, you've seen an enormous change in tone. And that's another reason why I'm pretty confident there's going to be a continuation of a tough U.S. stance on China going forward.
Okay, so you think no matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans, that both sides seem to be aware of the dangers. Now, here we have two ongoing things over the years. First of all, Taiwan. We had a commitment to Taiwan. I think we're supposed to still have a commitment to guard them in case there was an attack by the mainland Chinese. Secondly, Hong Kong. The British finally handed that over back to China, and it seems like they're slowly trying to swallow it, kind of like an anaconda or something, you know, the Chinese mainland government. Are we going to allow either one of those things to occur? You know that mainland China has designs on Taiwan.
Yeah, so I think these are they're related issues, but so I think Hong Kong, unfortunately, is already sort of done and dusted. Unfortunately, China, you know, they were supposed to respect Hong Kong's relative autonomy until 2047. Those were the conditions that the British laid down in 1997 when they handed Hong Kong back. China has basically brazenly violated that. And it's just really hard. There just aren't, like, military options really available to try to prevent that from happening. The best we can do is to try to highlight the plight of dissidents in Hong Kong and try to promote their cause from afar. But it's just really hard to have really decisive action. Now, Taiwan, I think, is very different. Taiwan, you know, by all means, is almost its own independent entity, you know. And so here, the United States, according to U.S. law, is pledged to at least help Taiwan defend itself. And a lot of lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are proposing even more clear U.S. commitments to defend Taiwan, just a straight up, we will defend Taiwan if China tries to invade. And I actually think that Taiwan is a center of gravity. It's really critical to our overall position in East Asia. It's what they call an unsinkable aircraft carrier, essentially in the middle of China's near seas. And so if China were to take it back, it would upend the military balance in Asia. And so the United States has a very strong commitment, just from a military perspective, to say nothing of, you know, making sure the only Chinese democracy in the world does not get crushed by a horrible Leninist authoritarian communist regime. So, you know, I think Taiwan is something that can be defended. It has a very advanced military. There's cooperation between the U.S. and Taiwanese militaries. And it's just very hard to launch a D-Day style invasion of a developed nation. And so there I'm much more confident, but it does require a lot of investment, a lot of joint planning between the United States and Taiwan. Unfortunately, though, Hong Kong, I think, is pretty much become a Chinese city at this point.
Wow, yes. So finally, will China be the number one threat globally and to the United States this coming decade? Is Russia off the board because it's no longer a superpower? Is it just China?
China is certainly the biggest threat because it has the most capabilities. Its economy is, by some measures, the largest in the world. It has the largest navy by number of ships, the largest conventional missile force. It has these huge savings, so it has lots of money and muscle to cause problems all across the globe. Russia, even though it lacks a lot of those capabilities, though, has a lot of holdovers from the Soviet days. So it has this huge nuclear arsenal. It's developed advanced cyber capabilities. And I think what makes Russia, in some ways, almost a bigger risk is that it seems like Putin is willing to run more risks. So even though he doesn't have the capabilities of China, he's willing to just take more brazen actions. And we saw that in Ukraine, where he annexed Crimea and has basically fomented an insurgency in eastern Ukraine. And so a lot of people worry that he has designs on even NATO countries like the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And that, he probably would think, oh, this will be a limited action. I can get away with it the way I got away with the Ukraine gambit or the interference in U.S. elections. But the worry would be if he crosses certain red lines, the United States may respond with overwhelming force, and then it could trigger a huge war between the two countries. Yeah. So even though Russia is much weaker than China, in some ways it might be a bigger risk just because I think Putin is willing to incur more strategic risk because he has fewer cards to play.
Right. They always say, too, if you want to, the best thing you can do with an enemy is economically trade with them, And we've got China where we're doing so much with them that not in their best interest to have any kind of a problem with us. Anyway, Michael, it's been a pleasure talking with you about all of this. Thank you so very much, and hopefully down the road we'll speak again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Michael Beckley, American Enterprise Institute. Going to take our break. When we come back, Georgians taking to the polls today to decide the fate of the U.S. Senate. We're going to get some thoughts on this and last night's Donald Trump Georgia rally with the proprietor of the barber poll, Andrew Ceraci.
Here she comes. And you're going to get her.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Baby, 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 leave me.
Hey, we're back. I was just looking here, Ed. This is kind of interesting. The governor here, Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, scolded a CNN reporter, a woman by the name of Rosa Flores, today after she appeared to blame him, yesterday, after she appeared to blame him for the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine.
Of course.
She shouted during a press conference that, Governor, what has gone wrong with the rollout of the vaccine that we've seen phone lines jammed, websites crashing, And DeSantis responded that there's a lot of demand, and she continued to speak over him, and he says, excuse me, you just said what's gone wrong, so I'm answering the question. If I could complete the question. So they went back and forth, and finally DeSantis said, so you're going to give a speech? Are you going to ask a question? You asked a question, I'm going to answer it. So there you go. It's starting to sound a little bit like the way they treat Donald Trump. And speaking of Donald Trump, we have one of Donald Trump's biggest fans. He probably, if they had had that rally last night anywhere within about 50 miles, you can bet that the master barber would be there.
Front and center.
Yeah, would you not, Andrew? Would you have been there?
No, I would have been there in a minute, Paul. You know that.
I know.
I was thinking of going to Washington today, but unfortunately, I can't deal with the cold.
Yeah, you know, that's it will be kind of cold there. In fact, did you know that the Washington mayor, Muriel Bowser, said that there's going to be no guns? She said, she urges the residents to stay away, doesn't want them to come down to the Capitol building, stay out of the downtown. She advised residents not to engage with demonstrators, and she says that the guns are going to be banned. So what do you think?
Well, I don't know. If there's a couple million people there, I'm quite sure a few of them are going to have guns, Paul, number one.
I would think.
Number two, that mayor, you know, she needs to go to sleep. She needs to go to sleep. She's no good. I put her in the same category as Jane Castorated.
Oh, but, the male.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of, you know. And you hear all these people moaning about the COVID vaccines and this and that. I got an idea.
Okay.
You know, Glad's got these freezer bags out.
Yes.
And if they put one of those over their head and tighten it on the bottom real good,
yeah,
that'll stop them from getting the virus, believe me.
Yes, it will. I never thought
of
that.
Yeah, I mean, enough is enough of this crap with these people. Like I told you before, the country's falling apart and they're worried about the COVID. They're nothing but fear-mongering, Paul. What is it, 1.1% death rate? Give me a break.
Okay. So Donald Trump shows up, I think it's near Dalton, Georgia, there in northern Georgia, and a good turnout once again. I was wondering if he would have a good turnout after all of this. And he did indeed kind of stay on script, I thought. He wanted to push for the two Republican nominees for the Senate there. How did you think he did?
Well, he hit a grand slam, Paul. He hit everything right on the money. He said what he had to say. He pushed the senator, the candidates, very well. He said it like it is, what's going to happen if these other two cacuzzas get in there. And, you know, hopefully Georgia does right today.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most, as we've said, it makes all the difference in the world. And usually the actual physical turnout favors Republicans. They've had about 3 million, votes that have already been cast with all the different combinations. We were talking earlier on the show. I mean, you know, all the different ways, you know, early voting, mail-in voting, absentee ballot voting, this, that. And it used to be we'd just go to the polls and nobody worried and we would have an honest election. Now,
Paul, do you know that there's still a 500,000 packages missing for Christmas delivery from the post office? But the mail-in voting went perfect, huh?
Yeah, right, exactly.
These people are full of crap, Paul.
Yeah.
It's time the American people wake up. And you know what? I think there's going to be a lot going on between today and tomorrow. I'm very curious to see what happens, Paul. You know, Kamala Harris didn't give up her Senate seat yet, did she? She got sworn in as a senator.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What is
she
that
wants
telling
to
you?
Cover her bases, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. She thinks she's got it all covered, but
yeah,
I think it's all going to fall apart. Paul, I'm hoping it falls apart for the sake of this country, Paul. You know, there's a lot of outstanding Americans in this country yet that are true Americans. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give a shout-out to a new customer that came in my shop today.
Okay.
Named David from Tennessee. He was in the 82nd Airborne in Vietnam, and I want to thank him for his service.
Absolutely.
And when he walked in my shop today, he knew right what my stand was, and I like that, Paul.
Yeah.
But,
82nd Airborne.
That's right.
I had some friends, one that would jump out of airplanes during the Vietnam War. I wonder, did your colleague there, was he a parachutist, or did he talk about
you? If you're in the 82nd Airborne, I'd imagine you'd jump out of planes.
You'd be jumping out of planes.
You wouldn't get me jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, but these guys had got the steel, Paul.
I'll tell you, they did.
And, you know, we got to stand up for America. I'm afraid if Biden gets in there, what's going to happen? We already know it. And, you know, Trump is fighting to the end. Mm-hmm. He's listening to what Hillary Clinton said. Don't concede. Whatever you do, don't concede, don't concede, don't concede. She's the one that advised him, wasn't she?
Indeed. He's following her example. Now, I was looking for the story that I... Here it is, I think. Yes. Did you see any of this? This is a Georgia election official by the name of Gabriel Sterling. And yesterday, he went point by point slamming Trump for continuing to say that there was voter fraud in Georgia. He said that the claims are easily and provably false. He is a Republican, and he is what they call Georgia's voting system implementation manager. So he was going down all of the different things. Now, I must say, he made a pretty good case. He said there was not massive voter fraud in the presidential election in Georgia. There is no shredding of ballots. Let's see. He said, we have seen nothing in our investigation of any of these data claims that shows there are nearly enough ballots to change the outcome. And anyway, he went on and on, and I thought, well,
Paul,
he made a pretty good case, I must say.
Go ahead. Paul, he believes in the first rule of lying. Deny, deny, deny. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me tell you, you know there was voter fraud. I know there was voter fraud. Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Why is it all these states? Trump swept all the other states, Paul. It's a bunch of crap. The American people aren't going to stand for it,
mm-hmm.
my friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people feel the way you do. The question is, there's always voter fraud. There's been voter fraud.
Yeah, Paul, there's always been voter fraud.
But is there enough voter fraud? This is the key.
How many times have the Democrats tried to do things to Trump? They always get caught, Paul. They're caught now and they're denied, 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 mm-hmm. just like every other time.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't get away with it this time, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Trump drops the flag on them today like they've never seen. And it's like I told you before, Trump will not disappear. Even if Biden gets in there, he's going to be the biggest thorn in the side the Democrats have and the Republicans, okay? Because there's a lot of Republican rhinos that need to go. I'm very disappointed in Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. I haven't heard nothing from them yet about joining the team, okay?
Yeah.
And if these guys don't do it, it's instant suicide. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you, it's suicide for the Republican Party. And Trump will start another party with 80 million followers. And I know you think I'm wrong and it won't work, but I'll tell you what.
I did say
80 million followers, Paul. The Republican Party don't have it. Trump does.
I didn't say you're wrong about him possibly forming an independent party. I think we talked about whether or not he might join, like, the Libertarians. And he's not a Libertarian, and they wouldn't even have him because he's a big spender. That was my point.
Well, you know, you said they wouldn't have him, but the Libertarians aren't known for nothing. Trump will put him on the map, and he'd meet him halfway where nobody else even meets him halfway.
But they would have to change their basic philosophy of government to accept
him. Well, they might
him.
Change a little bit to get the publicity and get in there. Let's be real.
It would be like having to change your spots if you were a leopard. Get rid of your spots and say, well, you're still a leopard. No spots. Well, we'll see about that. Anyway, I want to get your thoughts on how important it is in Georgia that these two Senate seats be retained in the Republican Party. First of all, are you following any of that? Do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Do you think that the Republicans will win both those seats?
Paul, it's a tough one, Paul. I'm not going to say it's not. I can't believe there's that many stupid people in Georgia, man. I thought for sure that Georgia would be a red state. Let me tell you what, if Georgia sinks this one down, people are going to have no use for Georgia, believe me. Nobody's going to buy their peaches.
You know, you're right, though. I think about the same thing. Georgia used to be a guaranteed Republican. They were Southern conservatives, and I don't think the black population, maybe I'm wrong, has the black population increased that much to change it from being red to a purple color?
Well, there you go again. You're talking to voter fraud because I don't think all the blacks are Democrat, Paul.
I didn't say that.
Especially in Georgia.
No, I'm
saying it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think they are, okay? And this is where I'm saying that there's so much fraud in Georgia, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. So you don't think it's really changing from a red state? Is that what you're saying?
No, the Democrats are trying to change it into a blue state.
Well, they are, but I mean, do you think it's really changing? You think it's totally fraudulent?
I think it's totally fraudulent.
Oh, I see.
I know people from Georgia, and they're telling me the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, my brother-in-law lives in Georgia. He's a retired Army major.
Yeah.
And he's telling me these people are nuts. I've never seen anything like this. They're all calling fraud, Paul. Yeah. And the Republicans behind it, no good.
Oh, boy. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. I mean, right now on the barber pole meter, what are the chances that Trump stays in office? I would imagine they've dropped a little bit.
Paul, I'm saying we got a 50-50 shot.
50-50, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I'm hoping, and I hope the man up above is on our side.
Yeah, I think we all are kind of hoping that something like that could occur. I want to thank you as always, my friend. And when we talk on Friday, we will know whether or not the Republicans will retain control of the Senate. Thanks so much.
You got it, buddy. Trump be with you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. There he goes, the master barber. Wow. Okay. Going to take our final break. And among other things, we're going to talk about the top 10 best-selling cars of 2020.
Oh, and I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment today, Tuesday. And by the way, we are here with you Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We hope you can listen live, but if you cannot, you can go to Plan B. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top there and punch the podcast button, and up comes our shows, thanks to Ed. All right, before we get to our top 10, a couple of things. Senator Ron Johnson, you know, there's always these things when you're watching, like I do, you watch some of these stations like CNN and MSNBC, and typically, if you watch, they never have a conservative on. Well, every once in a while, they interview a conservative. So Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he was on Meet the Press on the NBC station, and Chuck Todd is the anchor, and Johnson called out Todd for ignoring the Hunter Biden story. And during a lengthy spat about Johnson's participation in the 2020 presidential election results, where Todd accused Johnson of being the arsonist who started the fire about unsubstantiated allegations of voter fraud. Here comes Johnson pushing back. He said the fire had started back in January 2017 when the left vehemently opposed Trump coming down that elevator and becoming president. He said this has started when the mainstream media dropped any pretense of being unbiased, actually chose sides. The fire was started when you completely ignored, for example, our investigation of Hunter Biden. You know, no evidence of wrongdoing there. And now we find out after the election, you know, that there is a fair amount of evidence to the point where we have an FBI investigation. Chuck Todd goes, Senator, all right, I've had enough of hearing this. I mean, come on. That's Meet the Press for you and all of those liberal, you know.
Said this morning that imagine for the next 4 years or however long it takes them to get Biden to get out of office with illness.
He might just drop right at, you know. Anyway.
How stagnant the news is going to be from like CNN and NBC and CBS even, that all you're going to hear are questions like, you know, Mr. President, what kind of toast did you have this morning? And did you have that with jam or jelly?
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Hard boil or soft boil?
And
eggs?
The first time that Fox throws out a real question, you're going to hear Biden bounce back with, you're un-American and how awful the press is treating the president like that.
Yeah, Peter Doocy is the Fox correspondent at the White House, and Biden dreads him. And usually if Peter Doocy gets of course, you know, they have structured their allowance of questions. He calls on people ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Trump. Trump allowed people to raise their hands, and he would, you know.
I can't wait for the first real press conference that Biden's having.
Don't hold your breath.
They have really been sheltering him.
Oh, yeah.
He's up there and he's out. He doesn't take questions. And if they are, they're submitted ahead of time, so he has something to look at. But even when he did that last night talking in Georgia, just between the pauses where you can just see that there's nothing between the eyes there except
a little vacant
a toy
stare.
Monkey playing the cymbals. That's it.
Well put. Okay, before we get to our top 10, Ed, as long as I'm talking to you, who are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers supposed to play in the playoffs? I believe because they won on Sunday that they actually bumped themselves up to a higher seed.
No, they were still at five. They were always at five. They wanted to stay at five.
Oh, I see. This way if they had lost, though, they would have gone down to six.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So they're still going to go to Washington.
They're going to play the Washington
football team.
What do we call them now? The Washington. We've got to come up with a name for Washington's team.
They can't. Can't even come up with a name for Washington.
What would be a good name?
I'm not going to waste my time on them.
How about the Washington No Guns?
Oh, boy.
No, I guess that wouldn't sound very good, the Washington No Guns.
Good luck with that. I mean,
yeah. The Washington football team. They have an insignia anymore. They used to have the feathers.
Oh, they got the numbers on the helmets. Now, the color scheme is going to stay. But there's names being thrown out like the Washington Red Tails.
The Red Tails?
Yeah. You know what the Red Tails were?
Foxes. Weren't they? Foxes?
No, actually, there was an African-American, was it a fighter squadron? Was it World War II? The Red Tails?
Okay.
So they could go after that.
All right.
Something like that. I don't know.
But,
you know.
Yeah. Do you have any idea? I wonder what they really will come up with.
There's a lot of allegations against the owner, Daniel Snyder, right now. If that comes criminal or something like that and the other partners want him out, the whole thing could change.
Wow.
Whole thing could change.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Because he's the one that says we'll never change the name. But he's saying right now that the color scheme is going to stay, and we'll figure out a name in the offseason.
Okay. So. And finally, about all of this, are we still thinking that it's going to be like Green Bay versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl? Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl is being held here in Tampa.
Right.
Is it going to be Green Bay versus Kansas City?
That's hard to say. I mean, you know, if the Bucs win Sunday and they won Saturday, and if they wanted to go into Green Bay, I think if there's anybody that could beat Green Bay, because they already beat them this year.
That's true.
And if and you know
beat them badly.
And you know it's going to be cold and snowing in Green Bay.
Cold, yes.
And
I love those kind of games.
The guy
to watch.
That we've got playing quarterback seems to have done that before.
Yeah, that's true.
He's played a few games in cold weather in snow.
What about the rest of our Buccaneers, our beloved Buck? They're going to be kind of cold.
Well, yeah, we'll just
we'll see about that.
Stand by the heater.
Okay, time for our top 10, Ed, and we've got this is from Car and Driver, so you know it's reputable. Or reputable, however you want to say it. Top 10 best-selling cars so far. I think this goes through like October. They got some cleaning up for November, December. Okay, anyway, here we go. Number 10. The Nissan Rogue. Have you heard of that car?
Yes, I drove one once.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
167,000 units sold so far. Okay, good for them. Number 9. The GMC Sierra. I guess that's a truck.
Yes.
175,000 units sold so far. Number 8. The Chevrolet Equinox. 192,000 units sold. Let's see. They're down. The Equinox sales down a quarter, 25% this year. I don't know much about the Equinox. Is that that's also probably a like a truck, right?
Or an SUV.
SUV, yeah, okay. Number 7. Oh, listen, a reliable one, the Honda Civic. 201,000 units are sold so far, but their sales are also down about 22% through the first half of 2020. Number 6, the Toyota Camry. Well, I'm not surprised. 205,000 units sold. It's usually the best-selling. Did you know what the Camry is the best-selling passenger car typically? Mm. Been consistently that way. Okay, they've had a 21% drop, though, through the first three quarters of their sales. Number 5, the Honda CR-V, yeah. Mm-hmm. 237,000 units have been sold. They have experienced, I guess all cars are going through a little tough time. They've experienced a 16% drop in sales through the first three quarters of the year. Number 4, okay, the Toyota RAV4. It says here it somehow managed to pull off an increase through the first 3 months of 2020, but through the second quarter, it was down a little bit. Number 3, the Ram pickup. Oh, yeah. Boy, I see enough commercials about the Ram pickup over the years. 402,000 units sold. Pickup trucks were among the few models to increase in sales during the first quarter of 2020, but the second and third quarters not as strong. Number 2, another one, the Chevrolet Silverado, 410,000 units sold. Chevy somehow managed to sell and move more Silverados first 6 months in 2020 than they did in the first half of 2019.
You know, those trucks are becoming so popular because they now have a onboard power inverter.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that the battery and the charging system is so powerful that they've hooked up an inverter. You can plug in a regular AC outlet 110 off your truck battery.
Oh, wow.
And you can run like a saw or lights or whatever.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's really great. Okay, Ed. I don't know if you want to make a guess.
Not the Ford Pinto, but let's go with Ford.
Pinto? No.
How about the Ford F-150?
I think you're right.
Am I?
The Ford F-Series, it says here, Ford F-Series, 589,000. It said Ford's perennially best-selling pickup did not increase sales, but they managed to hang on to the top spot despite an 11% decrease.
And they're very aggressive in advertising.
Yes, they are. Yeah. That is for sure. We will be back on Friday, my friends. Thank you so very much. And always remember, freedom works.
Do you remember?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. Georgia voters are having their say today in two political races that will decide control of the U.S. Senate.
The ability to help shape our future is outstanding, right? I've got two boys helping their future and our beliefs is great. After